ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो वी विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 26। किंग पुरंजन गोज टू द फॉरेस्ट टू हंट। टेक्स्ट 23। सात्वं मुखं सुदति सुभ्रोनु अनुराग भार। सात्वं मुखं सुदति सुभ्रानुराग भार। व्रीडा विलंब विलसद धसितावलोकम्। नीलाल कालीभिर् उपस्कृतम् उन्नशम्न। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्रील प्रभुपाद की। माय डियर वाइफ, योर टीथ आर वेरी ब्यूटिफुली सेट एंड योर अट्रैक्टिव फीचर्स मेक यू अपियर वेरी थॉटफुल। काइंडली गिव अप योर एंगर, बी मर्सीफुल अपन मी एंड प्लीज स्माइल अपन मी विथ लविंग अटैचमेंट। When I see a smile on your beautiful face and when I see your hair, which is as beautiful as the color blue, and see your raised nose and hear your sweet talk, you will become more beautiful to me and thus attract me and oblige me. You are my most respected mistress. Purport. An effeminate husband, simply being attracted by the external beauty of his wife, tries to become her most obedient servant. Sripada Sankaracharya has therefore advised that we not become attracted by a lump of flesh and blood. The story is told that at one time a man, very much attracted to a beautiful woman, wooed the woman in such a way that she devised a plan to show him the ingredients of her beauty. The woman made a date to see him, and before seeing him, he took a purgative, and that whole day and night she simply passed stool, and she preserved that stool in a pot. The next night, when the man came to see her, she appeared very ugly and emaciated. When the man inquired from her about the woman with whom he had an engagement, she replied, "I am that very woman." The man refused to believe her, not knowing that she had lost all her beauty due to the violent purgative that caused her to pass stool day and night. When the man began to argue with her, the woman said that she was not looking beautiful because she was separated from the ingredients of her beauty. When the man asked how she could be so separated, the woman said, "Come on, I'll show you." She then showed him the pot filled with liquid stool and vomit. Thus the man became aware that a beautiful woman is simply a lump of matter composed of blood, stool, urine and similar other disgusting ingredients. This is the actual fact. But in a state of illusion, man becomes attracted by illusory beauty and becomes a victim of Maya. King Puranjana begged his queen to return to her original beauty. He tried to revive her Just as a living entity tries to revive his original consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is very beautiful. All the beautiful features of the queen could be compared to the beautiful features of Krishna consciousness. When one returns to his original Krishna consciousness, he actually becomes steady and his life becomes successful. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Desa Tarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you for being present in this Bhagavatam class. This is a topic related to the discussion between Srila Narada and the king Prachina Varishat. In fact, in Ekadasi Mahatmya, it is said that Prachina Varishat, the powerful king, was so enamored by his own prestige, his power, his kingdom, his opulence, he took always pleasure in performing sacrifices, animal sacrifices. And he was performing these animal sacrifices in such a pomp manner without giving any thought to the poor animals, because he was interested in his own glory. Srila Narada, you know always, Narada is very kind to poor living entities, and particularly animals. One of the reasons why he converted the Murugari, because he could not tolerate the pain inflicted to innocent deers. Similarly, in the discussion with Manigriva and Nalakubara, he also mentions that those who are intoxicated with wealth but have no knowledge, no education, they indulge in cruel killing of the animals and take pleasure eating their flesh. So Narada obviously came, and by his mystic potency he showed to Prachina Varishat all those animals who were being killed or who were killed and the sacrifices were waiting in the outer sky for his own flesh. They are waiting for the death of Prachina Varishat. So immediately Prachina Varishat came to his senses. It is not very easy to hear saintly people because our senses are talking all the time. Our mind is talking all the time. And our intellect is also talking all the time. And more so, the false ego. It is very difficult to hear. So Naradji have to give a shock treatment to Prachina Varishat to make him hear. And in this discussion, Naradji is trying to impress upon the king, "O king, you are roaming in the platform of illusion." Hence he narrated an allegory. Just like here, he is talking, the Puranjana actually refers to the soul who has lost his ways. Just like we are all, lost souls, we do not know where we are. We do not know what we are supposed to do. Just like all of us, we have taken the shelter of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And Prabhupada has told us that we living entities are actually encased or embodied living beings. The soul is encased by the false ego. False ego is encased by the intellectual concepts, intellects. And then that itself again is further encased by the mind. And mind has varieties of impressions upon it based on our actions. And mind is surrounded by senses. So it's like we are deep in the vast ocean and we are about to drown. We don't see where is the bank. And there is no hope that I can even see the bank, what to speak of even approaching the bank. So this is the nature of illusion. Why we are put in such a situation? We are practicing Krishna consciousness. We get up early morning for Mangala Arati. We see, take the darshan of the deities, take the blessings of our Acharya. We chant our rounds. And then we get engaged in the services that are given to us. In spite of all these regular activities, the illusion of Krishna is still overpowering. Sometimes we become very restless. We think this process doesn't work. I have been chanting for the last 22 years. What have I gained? I've been serving the temple. I gave my whole youth in the service of Krishna. Where is my perfection? Questions are raised. We get further confused. Are we following the right path? So this is not the situation that we have. The same situation also Lord Shiva have. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, everybody also, they face the same situation. Because Krishna's illusory energy is ever expanding. It's not very easy to uncover this illusory energy and see Krishna directly face to face. See ourselves face to face. There is an incident in Bhagavatam which is narrated in 9th canto. Ambarisha Maharaj has been offended by King Durvasa. Says Durvasa. Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. And the Sudarshan Chakra is chasing Durvasa Rishi. And Durvasa Rishi fled out of fear and is looking for the right shelter. Brahma refused to give him shelter. He went to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, I'll just quote, this is in 9th canto, 4th chapter, 57-59 verse. Kindly listen attentively. Past, present and future are known to me, Lord Shiva is saying, that I am Trikalagya. A person is Trikalagya when he becomes timeless. He is not under the influence of time. Then he says, so also Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Lord Vyasadeva, Devala, Yamaraja, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have attained perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. Let me repeat this. Nonetheless, because we are covered by this illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief from this Sudarshan Chakra. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. So here, even in a Lord Shiva, you know, who can be better, you know, greater than Lord Shiva within this material creation? He is supreme most, he is almost like Bhagavan. But he admits that Krishna's illusory energy can make anybody puppet, including himself. So why we become confused? Can anybody say why we are confused? What is the reason of our confusion? Eh? Exactly. We become confused because of our tendency to assume the state of Krishna. We think we are Krishna. We cannot accept, or we have not been able to accept, I am very tiny, I am very insignificant, I have actually, you know, my existence is nothing. I am absolutely insignificant. This doesn't enter into my head. And this is a fact. In Gurvashtaka we say, Hangsara dava nalalidha loka. This world is like a blazing fire. How many of us feel that this is a blazing fire? This is a forest of blazing fire. Can we raise our hand? Eh? There are few hands, but I doubt you really understand. This is a really blazing forest of blazing fire. Very difficult to understand. Very, very difficult. I'll narrate an incident that happened just before Krishna is about to wind up his pastime. Krishna called out all the Yadus. Yadus have been cursed that their dynasty, entire dynasty, will be destroyed by the stone, because Samba was acting like a lady and wrapped a stone in his belly and asked the sages, is this a boy or a girl? So Krishna is now taking all his family members to Prabhasa Kshetra. You know why he is taking? To kill them. He is taking all of them to kill them. And there, when in the Dwaraka itself, as they are about to depart, all the demigods headed by Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they realized Krishna is winding up his pastime. So they wanted to have darshan of the Lord. So all of them, they descended to Dwaraka and offered him very wonderful prayers. Some of the things that said, you know, in this assembly there are Brahma, there are Lord Shiva, Indra, Brihaspati, you know, all great personalities. So some of the things they said, you know, we need to say. And the first thing, you know, in their prayer, the first thing they said, O Krishna, you are never affected by the actions that you perform. Why did he say that? Because we get entangled by every actions that we perform. Even by seemingly so-called devotional service. Because what Hayagriva Prabhu said, our tendency to lord over the nature, because we accept a false position. But Krishna is the doer. He does everything. So he is not affected by his actions. Everything he does. Everything. The worst enemy that I have, it is Krishna's creation. The most terrible suffering I am going through is Krishna's creation. In fact, in one of the cases they are saying, oh Krishna, because you know, I don't know where Radhika Mataji is here, you know, she is our CPO in our Gurukula. In all these kids, they have different kinds of problem, and she has to hear all those problems. And it is not very nice to hear all those problems all the time. You really get affected. And imagine Krishna is involved in everything that's happening in this world. All the dirty things that are happening, and also all that wonderful things that's happening. Krishna is there because he is directly involved. Directly or indirectly he is involved. But he is not affected. He is not perturbed. That is why he is Krishna. We need to accept Krishna as he is. This is the first step in our path to perfection. We must be ready to accept whatever Krishna does is right. It has a purpose. In the Mahabharata pastime, the war is over. 100 sons of Gandhari are killed. And so many millions are killed. There are bloods and bloods and bloods everywhere in the battle of Kurukshetra. The scene is very ghastly.
The 5 sons of Draupadi
are being pacified by their loving mother, Draupadi. Draupadi is saying, we have to accept what Krishna wants. All this has happened because Krishna wanted. We are being engaged in this ghastly warfare. You have to accept it. And in the conversation, these 5 sons, as they are looking at the face of their mother, they are forgetting all that they have seen in those past 17.5 days, all those ghastly sins, and they are not leaving their mother. They are not going to sleep. Mother is pacifying them, persuading them, my dear sons, please go to bed. I have to take care of my husbands also. They must be very tired. This is not an ordinary battle. Allow me. But the sons said, no, please continue, because your affectionate face, the nectar that we are now releasing, is helping us to maintain our composure. But anyway, the mother Draupadi finally pacified them and said, and finally they agreed on the condition that, mother, you must come and wake up us. Then we'll get up. But you know what happened. In the night itself, the five sons are killed brutally. They didn't live to see the affectionate face of their mother. This is Krishna. Krishna is not affected. And Draupadi has to accept it. So also all of us. Our spiritual master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Aslishyava padaratam pinastu mam adarsanan marma hatam karotu va yatha tatha va vidadhato lampato mat prana nathastu saeva napara. Lampata, he described Krishna as a lampata. He is not trustworthy. But still we have to accept him. So are we ready? This is the beginning. When we are ready, that will be the beginning of our devotion. In fact, there is demigods, they are also praying. Oh Krishna, your lotus feet is like blazing fire that kills, destroys, burns all our inauspicious desires. So now the question, the answer to all our questions are embedded in this question, embedded in this prayer. You know, sometimes we say, why bad things are happening? Why ghastly things are happening? Why so many millions were killed in the battle of Mahabharata? Why I have to deal with this most dreaded enemy? It's all because of my inauspicious desires. This sum total of inauspicious desires that are there within all of us. What is actually getting manifested is only a tiny little hole of that sum total of inauspicious desires. And we need to burn that. We must put all those desires into ashes. And that's only possible only when we know how to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. That is why devotees, Maharaj Bharata, at the age of 40, he gave up all the pleasures, all the comforts associated with his kingdom. Went to forest. Because of this, Narada sent all the sons of Daksha to perform severe austerities. Even after the Prachetas, the sons of Prachina Varishat, they were taught by Lord Shiva. Even if they performed severe austerities, even if it appeared that they attained perfection because Krishna appeared and blessed them, still, Narada again came and taught Prachetas. The famous verse that Prabhupada quoted everywhere and most of the time. that everything that we do must be done for Krishna, just like a tree is automatically taken care of. If all the parts of trees are automatically taken care of, if you are watering the root. So this particular point has been again and again emphasized by all our acharyas, that we must surrender to Krishna. But we don't know Krishna. How am I going to surrender? So now let us look at this verse. In this verse, Puranjana is getting bewildered. Bewildered by the beauty of the illusion. Beauty of illusion comes in many forms, not only the beauty of a woman. No, it comes also strength of a very strong man, intellect of an intellectual. So many ways illusion comes and captivates our mind. Very difficult world. Only when we become fortunate to come in contact with Guru and Krishna, message of self-effulgent acharyas, because they see Krishna, so they can give Krishna to us. Krishna se tomar Krishna dite par, tomara sakati ache. Amita kangal Krishna Krishna boli, dhai tabo pache pache. Just like Shukadeva Goswami, he sees Krishna directly. By speaking about Krishna, he is transporting Maharaj Parikshit to that pure consciousness state, pure conscious state, where Maharaj Parikshit is able to forget his thirst, his hunger. Imagine, Maharaj Parikshit is not like ordinary person like you and me. He's an emperor. Every day, whether it is a lunch, dinner, breakfast, there must be thousands of varieties of foodstuff that he must be testing. And so many expert chefs must be preparing it. We, after practicing Nirjalas for so many Ekadasis, next days we are waiting when to break our fast. But here, Maharaj Parikshit, for 7 days continuously, sits and hears with rapt attention. How is it possible? Because the speaker is so powerful. He has actually transcended the hearer, the listener. This is causeless mercy. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, the first verse itself, the first verse itself, Janmadi Asya Ataha. So in that verse, if you see that, Tejo Vari Mrudam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trishargo Mrusha. And Prabhupada is translating that as, By him, even the great sages, yadi kavaye, adi kavaye, muhyanti yat suraya. So, by him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion. As one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in tree, fire, and land seen in water. Only because of him do the material universes temporarily manifest by the reactions of three modes of material nature. They appear factual although they are unreal. So in this world, this particular verse, Bhagavatam is telling. What Bhagavatam is saying? Before you want to hear Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva is saying, my dear sir, in this world only there are two things. In fact, there is only one thing. What is that one thing? Yes, Krishna Kathamritam. What is one thing? Illusion. Now, what is that one thing that we have only? Experience. There is only one thing that we have. That is experience. There is nothing else. Our experience can be material. Our experience also can be spiritual. When we try to experience things using our senses, invariably, they are illusory experience. And I don't want to go to the science now because it's already time. Like this, particularly, Kapila, Lord Kapila, when he teaches, like for example, I have the experience of this table. But underlying the experience of the table is not there. It's simply an experience. The experience of a car, experience of a house, experience of my dear ones, these are mere experience. By becoming little bit, talking like a scientist, suppose I say, what is this? Right? So what I will do actually, this creates some sound. So, a scientist, what it will do, it will look at this sound. It will go deeper into the sound. Analyzing the sound, it will try to understand what is this. But when one goes to sound, and deeper into the sound, he only gains experience. Just like people are trying to study atom. So when they break the atom, again they have another experience. And those experiences are manifesting to them in terms of proton, neutron, nucleus, quarks, Higgs boson, and so forth. Right? But again, they cannot catch Higgs boson. You can't catch. You can only experience. Just like here, in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, this particular person wanted to catch the beauty of this wonderful girl. And the girl is saying, my dear friend, you cannot catch that beauty. Because this beauty was simply an experience for you. And she wanted to teach him the actual beauty that you wanted to experience was actually caused by this vomit, this stool. Now get attracted to that beauty, which is very eternal, very transcendental. So we are looking for experience. All of us, through our practice of Krishna consciousness, we have some experience. Spiritual experience, which we say. And that actually gives us strength to practice. After practicing 22 years, now I have been chanting almost like 22 years in this particular material body. So during this journey, some experience certainly I have. That's why I'm continuing to chant. And so also each one of you. But the spiritual experience is not based because of our material endeavor. No material endeavor can give us spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is caused directly by Krishna. That's why it is causeless mercy. Just like when Prabhupada came here, and started spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world, he gave that. You know, people now also, you know, he was actually a spiritual experience personified. His natural humility, his strong determination, his, you know, Himalayan-like faith in Krishna, you know, going to an alien country at this that old age, you know, you have to have that level of understanding, that level of vision of Krishna. And he could inspire so many. Not only he inspired so many, he gave that experience, spiritual experience. This is called causeless mercy. This never happens by our any material endeavor. That is why again and again in Bhagavatam, in the prayers of Vedas, that is there in 10th canto, everywhere in Bhagavad Gita also, neither by dana, by charity, nor by tapa, that is by austerities, nothing, neither study of Vedas, nothing can give us the spiritual experience. Spiritual experience is simply the causeless mercy of Krishna. And we must actually look or beg, we must be beggar for this spiritual experience. We should not, what is that called? We should not feel miserable about this. Because, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam visame bhavam vadhu krupaya tava pada pankaja sita dhuli sadrusam vichintaya. Because here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, my dear friend, oh great scientist, oh great billionaire, oh great artist, oh great philosopher, now recognize your great philosophy, your great intellect, your great science will not help you to cross over this vast ocean of material nescience. However you may try, the nescience, the illusory energy, will still make you a puppet. So he's saying, please pray to Son of Nanda. It's not that we should not endeavor, we should not do all these things. We must do, but we must know that spiritual experience will only come to us by Krishna's causeless mercy. He has to be pleased. Unless he is pleased, we will not have that spiritual experience. And that spiritual experience for which we are actually living for. Because spirit we are, divine we are, spiritual experience is mine, divine experience is mine. Everything else are outside of me. I am not in that. Just like this girl said, I am not in that beauty to which you are attracted. Similarly, I am not in this house, I am not in this car, I am not in the following, I am not in my intellect, I am not in my thought, I am not in my bhavana, I am not in my anything that I am thinking. I am purely in Krishna consciousness. And this is something, you know, kind of a touchstone, gem, that we have been searching life after life. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahaitikitvai. We have to search for that. And this search is an unending search. We should not be confused. This is our job. Our job is to search for that divine experience. Divine we are. And we must search. Bhagavatam, Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita are there to help us. The spiritual masters, acharyas are there to inspire us. Devotees are there to inspire us. But the motivation should be very well defined, very clear. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Gaur Pramanandeye. Any question or comment?
Prabhu, we are told that we have to render bhakti, which is loving service.
Mm-hmm.
If one hears glories of Krishna, like he was very favorable to even to Putna and things like that, they somewhat kind of motivate, that although one may have envy, but still if he notices the little positive and magnifies that and even increases that. But things like the pastime of that, like killing of the children at the night and all that.
Frightening.
Yes, that's frightening. Fearing and...
I am very that sorry that I spoke like this. I didn't recognize that many new devotees may be there, but that's fact. Krishna can do anything to us. Many times we say in the temple, we go through many troubles, tribulations. And I think, what is this? Why should I live in the temple? Okay? So we must know actually. Okay? So all kind of, because you must recognize that experience that we have, why this kind of, this is happening. The only objective, this is what? Let me read this. These demigods are saying, O Krishna, your lotus feet is like blazing fire that burns all our inauspicious desires into ashes, by which our experiences, what? Our experiences are purified. We will go through many, many experiences. And many times we may think, like, you know, we take nice prasadam, we think, oh, very nice experience. But while we release that, we should appreciate, but we must also recognize our experiences are still not purified. Okay? In most demanding situation, we will be given experiences. And in that state, we have to now say, oh Krishna, I have a long way to go. I have to still purify my experience. Right? This experience of being intimidated by an enemy or intimidated by anything is actually impure. It's not right. I'll give another example. When Jarasandha was killed, all the kings, they were liberated. Right? They came in front of Krishna and they said, O Krishna, our life is now perfect today. We feel perfected. It is not that Jarasandha who gave us torture, who tortured us. It is actually our past karma. It is our inauspicious desires that has done all that thing to us. So it is the all kind of experience that we have. It is because, you can understand, because the experience that we go through, like I have been telling our Rohit Gupta is here, the experiences that we go through, you know, when we see that experience, we should recognize, I have to go. I have to make a jump in my consciousness. Krishna is inviting me, challenging me, that I have to take now another step. Okay? So when this kind of experiences comes, that's a challenge. This should not be a factor we should enter into depression, confusion, illusion. No. No, these are challenges. Okay? We have to purify our experience. Prabhuji?
So, now you have experience for 22 years. How do you identify the spiritual experience?
How do I identify the spiritual experience? Very nice. Very nice. Prabhuji's question is that, how do I identify? How do I identify my spiritual experience? All of us, we have spiritual experience. Okay? And how do I identify that spiritual experience? the first I give the answer like this, that when I have the spiritual experience, that is the most memorable for me. I cannot trade anything for that spiritual experience that I have. Like the first khichdis that we have taken in ISKCON Bhandara, we will never forget this khichdi prasadam. Or the chanting in the beginning of our sadhana, when we started chanting, when that faith came to us that we must chant, that intimate intimacy with the chanting, this cannot be forgotten. These are all eternal memory. In most difficult situation, they will be revived in my consciousness. In spiritual consciousness, the boundaries of dualities vanishes. The spiritual consciousness are such in that the space and time collapses. Space and time collapses. I don't see separation in that experience between me and Krishna. So those things are very intimate. And they actually, imagine Hanuman jumping the ocean. Just the power of his faith in the holy name. It's amazing feat what he did. Or Prabhupada, for us we don't have to go to Hanuman or Prabhupada actually. Many times I meditated on this. Let me not say that. Hare Krishna. Actually Prabhupada going at the age of 70, going that and doing what he did actually, should give us some idea. What is spiritual experience? He must have experienced that much. That, and all of us, like you, for last, more than 30 years or so, you have also gone through many tribulations, but continuing, because of that spiritual experience. In that spiritual experience, you don't consider anybody enemy or friend, nor something mine, something his. That is an experience that's very universal, but very intimate, very personal. And let me also tell the example of Prahlada. Prahlada had many experiences, spiritual experience. Because he drank the poison became nectar for him. He was thrown into the snake pit. Rather, snakes went away from him. Right? In fact, they bowed down their head to Prahlada. He had so much of experience. But when finally Narasimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, and then came, because everybody were frightened. Narasimhadev was very angry. And Prahlad Maharaj actually was given the garland to garland Narasimhadev. And Narasimhadev immediately placed him on his lap. And there the experience, Prahlad Maharaj, he had that experience, is still unique. He didn't see anything of this material world. He was no more with his senses. Okay. So when we practice, we accept the instructions of our acharyas very sincerely, Krishna gives some samples of those experiences. And through that experiences, he tries to improve our determination, our dedication. And through that process, he gives even more and more and more. And at some, it's all up to him when he will give me that complete experience. But we are looking for that complete experience. But we have some little samples of that experience. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you for your class. Praji, you told that when you will think that the Krishna is the cause of all causes, then we will act according his desire. True. But this process, Lord says, karmarpana and samarpana, you know, offering and surrender, jatkarosi, then sarvadharma. So, how one sadhak will overcome this ego, no? When he offers something, he also demands that I gave something.
We have to come to a state where we will not demand anything. I have to forget my own identity. In fact, that's what is the Radharani personified. She never considers herself as the best servant of Krishna. Rather, she appreciates everybody else's service to Krishna. That's her unique position. So in our service to Krishna, I should never give any importance to my service. And this cannot be done artificially. It must come naturally. I come to a state where I must recognize how much I must do serve Krishna. But my service to Krishna is very, very tiny and insignificant. In fact, I don't consider myself even existing. You know, that much selfless sacrifice, selfless service. That means we do service. All of us, we are doing service. But our idea of service now must go to that I am doing service to completely selfless service, where I should be able to recognize all other service much more than I do. So these are symptoms. So we have to work on it. Because we must recognize when I'm serving, I think, oh, I gave a very nice, wonderful lecture today. Hayagriva Prabhu, glorified it. Not that way. Right? As long as that consciousness is within me, I have to be very careful. Maybe I should not even speak in Bhagavatam class. Better. Right? Like our Bibhu Chaitanya Prabhu, I have heard that when he was cooking for our deities, he never tasted those prasadam after offering. It's a very wonderful concept for purification. Right? So it is like that. We have to understand that what Bhagavatam tells us is what is that divine experience, the symptom traits. Like in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, if you are my devotee, these are your traits. And then you are very dear to me. Right? So one is equipoised both happiness and distress, and who treats his worst enemy as his best friend. That's what Krishna says in 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. These are all experience. We must have in my consciousness, I must be able to see that. I should not go by what people talk about me, but I must know that I am number one fool. I am number one rascal. Right? Okay. I think we are very late. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bom.